Good morning. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 to 11, the Apostle Paul addresses the Christian church at Colossae. Epaphras, probable founder of the church at Colossae, our beloved fellow bondservant, who was a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, informed us during his visit to our prison cell in Rome of your unconditional love in pneumati, in the Spirit. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, plero'o, with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. It is from the source of God the Holy Spirit that we are able to love unconditionally. The Spirit is also the one who teaches us how to love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Spirit also teaches us to love him, and it is by this love for him that we are able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit fills up our deficiencies, and as the benefit, and the benefit is a wisdom derived from living Christianity and manifesting its total sufficiency to handle anything in life to a lost and dying world. Welcome to Bible study for the refreshment of renewing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "Put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." God the Holy Spirit changes our minds. We tune out the ramblings of KCOS and tune into the direction of WGOD as the Spirit gives us new thoughts to think, which power this new self life. We are strengthened with power from the source of his glorious might. Welcome to a place where you can, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to change your souls, which is able to save your souls. And as God prepares your soul and your thoughts for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song reminds you that you are a possession. It is, "You Own Me." Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. We're grateful that we are God's property. We're grateful, Father, to be your prisoner. We pray that you enlighten us about the things that you have already done to secure our place in eternity. We pray that you inform us about the resurrection life you have given us in the past, which you are allowing us to live right now. Show us the things you want us to reflect to a lost and dying world as we enjoy this marvelous, resplendent new self life. Show us how to reflect your glory. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher. It's a gift given to me by God to help you develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the sovereign of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray incessantly that the teaching from this pulpit may rub off on you in such a way that your heart is conformed, so that your heart feels the same things that my heart feels for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's study, unconditional love is manifest in new self-conduct. Unconditional love is manifest in new self-concept, conduct. I have an assignment for you in the coming week. I want you to pull out the New American Standard Version of the Bible, and I want you to sit someplace quiet, and I want you to read Paul's letter to the Colossians. So that is your assignment for the week. Read Paul's letter to the Colossians. Now, I'm not saying to you that this is optional. I'm not saying to you that this is if you feel like it. I'm saying to you that I want you to actually read the four chapters of Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's an assignment. It takes about 30 minutes to read this for even the slowest of readers. I woke up one morning this week depressed in spirit. I was reflecting on all of the shaking that has gone on in my life this year. We're nearing the halfway point of the year, so reflection like this is in order. This has been a rough year for all of us emotionally, but especially for me. The things we have learned spiritually this year have shaken me to my very core, and that shaking has transitioned into every other area of my life, into intimate relationships, into family, into health, into career, into finances, into time use, into individuality. And the Word of God has proven me a fool in all of these areas. Think about how foolish it is to give up your week to come every week and stand at the point and teach 3 hours of Bible study. Think about how foolish that is. Think about how foolish it is in intimate relationships to give yourself to another person, to be hurt by them, and then to forgive them. Think about how foolish it is to think that somehow you're going to have a relationship with a broker and, you know, a financial advisor, and that that person actually really has your best interest in mind. Think about how foolish it is to think that you can make a plan and then accomplish it as an individual. Think about how foolish it is to think that you can actually be consistent. I was laughing hysterically in the shower this morning about the times when I used to be a recruiter. And I would ask people the question, tell me about your weaknesses. And inevitably, you'd get the person who had been in interviewing 101. And they would say, they would feign this confusion and they'd say, oh, I'm a perfectionist. I'd say, okay, well, thank you very much. It was really nice having you in. See you later. And everybody would pretty much get up and walk out. But once somebody asked me, is the interview over? I said, yeah. Well, why is that? I said, oh, because we only like people here who know how to make mistakes. So if you're a perfectionist, you wouldn't fit here. And to see the shock on their face, and what I hope they did is then go run back out and get a refund on their interviewing 101 course. Because when I ask you what your weaknesses are, I want to know what I'm going to hate about you in 30 days. And I really want to know what your perspective is about that. I'm not expecting that I'm hiring somebody without weaknesses. Right? So it's just funny. In health, you know, all of us that are getting older, things start breaking down. And that's normal. And isn't it awesome, though? Isn't it fantastic that our God thinks enough of us to allow us to have those situations happen? Situations like happened with Tony LaGrasso, where he has cancer. He has bone marrow cancer. Yet everybody around him got to see his magnificent faith in how he has been handling the situation. And I have some really good news to report in the third lesson for today. But in my career, getting constant feedback from people that I'm not a good teacher. You know, after 4 decades of teaching, I'm getting a lot of feedback that I'm not a good teacher. And you know what? I like that feedback, actually. I think what the feedback means is that I need to look for some alternative methods to teach that are a little more exciting for people. And I'm excited about taking on that challenge. But I think it's interesting how all of the areas of my life are coming together to send an overwhelming series of negative messages. And how grateful I am for that. That my God has prepared me in advance for that. And that I have everything that I need spiritually, emotionally, mentally to handle it with a grace and an ease and a rest that has been placed into me well in advance of the need. The Word of God has proven me to be a fool in all of the areas of my life. And I am grateful for that education, and I am happy, very happy to be God's fool. You know, how foolish is it for you to talk to a person? I have a friend who's going through a spinal tap right now. And when he got the results back, you know, your white blood count is supposed to be 0 to 5. His was 390. And so I started talking to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had given him a copy of the book, And You Will Be Saved, which he can't find. First, it was on his nightstand, and now he can't find it. And I said, well, that's okay. I can send you another one. Just give me an address or an email address. I can get you an electronic copy. I can deliver a copy, whatever you need. And I didn't hear from him again. Those are friendships. Another one of my best friends is constantly sending me negative messages about how lousy I am as a friend, which is simply projection. He's the lousiest friend that I probably ever had. And of course, the one I love the most. So, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be a fool in so many areas. God's fool. Because the wisdom of this world does not value us as Christians. But isn't it great that our citizenship is not of this world? We are in it. We can't pretend like we're not in it. We can't put into ourselves, oh man, I'm longing for the future. That is not what God put us here to do. He put us here to make a difference right this minute. He put us here to forget what's behind us and to make a difference right this second. Not to be longing for the future, not to be holding on to the past, but to be making a difference right this minute, right now, right where you sit. I'm grateful to be God's fool. And when I feel depressed and express it, please don't worry too much for me. For as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Believers all over the world are experiencing these same feelings of depression of spirit. You feel it. You may cover it. You may cover it with alcohol. You may cover it with sex. You may cover it with nicotine. You may cover it with all the sublimations that keep us from being bored. But you feel it. You feel it every day. You know what Thoreau was saying when he said the mass of humanity lead lives of quiet desperation, and the songs that they have to sing often go to the grave. You know what he meant. Because you feel these things every day. There was a movie, and it involves some psychology where the guy was going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Oh, I know what it was. It's As Good As It Gets, Jack Nicholson. And he was going in to see the psychiatrist, and he turned around to all the people in the waiting room, and he looked at him. He said, "What if this is As Good As It Gets?" Great question. What if it's As Good As It Gets? What if that feeling of desperation that we feel so often is as good as it gets? Well, in this world, it is as good as it gets. That's all this world has to offer. Yet we, the new spiritual species, the ones with the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the new self life, the eternal life, we gravitate to this old life. That only ends up in death. That only ends up in depression. You know, we got the 12-year-old here. He's holding his pen. He's pretending like he gives a shit about what I have to say. But he doesn't. But Monday in school, he'll have the same issues that I'm talking about right now. Because he feels the same thing in his soul that we feel. I don't know what to do. I'm bored. And what does he do? He fills that up with nothingness. The promise of this world, video games, pornography, and all those things. And what is the result? Death, nothingness. You know what I'm talking about. It's often funny when I talk about these feelings. You know, people, "Oh, it's too bad that you're feeling that way. You're feeling that way too." I'm just willing to say it. We feel that way, but why? Why do we have to feel that way? And it's not just us, but it's the brethren all over the world. My brethren in Africa, they're hearing this today on tin cans with string. You know, I don't know how they download it, right? You know, their big worry is while they're doing Bible study, if a gazelle is going to come and eat them, right? Because the gazelles are even aggressive in Africa. And they're laughing at my little depression because they're saying, "You don't know what depression is. You don't know what it's like to be in a country that is 95% Muslim and you open your mouth and say that you're a Christian or you carry a Bible and four or five people drag you into off the side of the road and beat the crap out of you and tear your Bible to shreds and now you're wondering, where am I going to get my next one from?" Our brethren all over the world are experiencing these things, and it's not just feelings. So don't cry for me when I'm depressed in spirit, for I know you are as well at times. And I would have it no other way, because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says in 1 Peter 5:10, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory and union with Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You see, I know God is on duty in my life, and so I rest in union with him. I love him, and he loves me, and so I rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, believers in Christ, let us, if we fear anything, fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you believers may have seemed to come short of it." God does not want us to feel depressed in spirit. God does not want us to be in a state of disease. God wants us to rest. We feel disease when we think we have to do. And we engage in the do-do-do-do life, as opposed to realizing that the new self life is done, and that everything is done for us, and that our Bible study is for the unfolding of the magnificence of this new self life that we own already and that was given to us in the past, and that it is an established and irrevocable fact. And we are not at all interested in that wonderful life. What we are interested in is wallowing in the do-do life. That depression of spirit is this feeling of inadequacy, as if there is something adequate in us. It's the striving for us being able to do something that will somehow make us adequate in that old self, that dead, crucified, putrid, disgusting old self. And when you go out today and you look in the faces of people who don't look happy, and it's not just because they're not mourning people, when you look in the faces of our children and they're distracted and they cannot keep focus for five lousy minutes, understand exactly what that disease is. That is the product of purchasing choices in this old self and thinking somehow that that's going to complete, perfect, strengthen, and establish us. Will not. It will have us suffering for a long time, not a little while. And then after that, death. Death. Death of what? Yeah, our physical body. Okay, that's relief for a Christian. Death of our physical body is relief for a Christian. No, death of your dreams. Death of our dreams. Where we get to the point where we no longer dream. We no longer feel that life is worth living, but we know, we look at the clock and we say, oh man, I got at least 22 left. I'm 58, my parents died 80 and 80. I got at least 22 left. That's a long time. That's a long time to phone it in. Can you laugh a little bit about this so you don't cry? Amen. Yeah, but that's not us. We don't have to be depressed in spirit. That's not us. We don't have to be dead. We don't have to be not concentrating. You know what we should feel about life? We should feel angry with God. Why are you only giving me 80 years? I deserve so much. You gave Jean Stapleton 90. I bet you she didn't study the Bible once. I got to get 92. Now, I don't know that about Jean Stapleton. She seemed like a really wonderful woman, and she was funny as couldn't be. She was Edith Bunker on All in the Family. You don't even know what that is. 7 o'clock, Saturday night. Most impressive thing I ever did is I dated a Marine's daughter, and I knew it was stupid to be early. So I waited right up to 6:59. I walked up. I rang the doorbell, and in his house I heard, "Boy, the way Glenn Miller played," which was 7 o'clock, CBS, All in the Family. He came and shook my hand, and he said, "You can date my daughter anytime you want. Marines like punctuality." That's pretty cool. That's all you have to do to be impressive. Thank you very much. Thank you. Elvis has left the building. So, rest. God grants us his peace. And we know that from our study of Romans chapter 5 during our Lord's Supper celebration. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation," all of Romans chapter 4 talks about that justification by our faith. As a result of that, chapter 5 of Romans talks all about the result. We have peace. Irene, reconciliation with God the Father through our union with our Lord Jesus Christ as his believers. So as I sat depressed in spirit, sipping on a cup of coffee, my fingers went randomly to the book of Colossians. It is 4 chapters, and I'm sure it was not my own wisdom that took me there. I am sure it was the still small voice of God, the Holy Spirit, directing me to a place of renewing, to a place of refreshment for my ailing spirit. And I willingly followed his lead and listened to his voice. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 4 ask us a question about listening to that still small voice, the voice of wisdom. Does not wisdom, the word of God, call? Does not understanding, the word of God, lift up her voice? Proverbs 8:2. On top of the heights, Beside the way where the paths meet, the Word of God takes her stand. The Word of God is not like a whore. It does not hide, doing its deeds in secret. It is loud. It is resounding. It is out in the open as if from the rooftops. And verse 2 talks about where paths meet. Sweet. That's where people gather. Wherever people gather, the Word of God can be heard, lifting up her voice. And it is those who live lives in the darkness who attempt to squelch her voice. It is those who live lives of quiet desperation, even us Christians, who do not depend on her voice. Proverbs 8:3. Beside the gates, at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the doors where all the people come through, she, the Word of God, cries out. You see, the Word of God is available to anyone free of charge. The Word of God is available to whosoever. And it is readily available to you believers in Christ as well. And I wonder, when our children are experiencing their children stuff, how often we walk them to the Word of God and point them to the truth to soothe their souls. Because that was something that my mom did. Psalm 37 was her favorite. The imprecatory prayer. She didn't know dispensational theology. She didn't know that that was for the Old Testament. And she always hoped that our enemies would have their teeth broken out and that God would take his vengeance on them. Amen? I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. Now, the Word of God is free. The Word of God is wonderful, available to whosoever. Do you keep a Bible handy? And do you have it ready to fill your mind with truth and encouragement at a moment's notice? I was sitting in the doctor's office last week, and I noticed myself judging everyone around me. A lot of them were kids, of course. And one little kid was flirting with a girl that was straight ahead of me, and he was in my ear. And so I turned around, and I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, you're much too young for this, dog. What are you, like, 3? And you flirting with that girl over there? She's at least 6. You have no chance with her whatsoever. What are you going to do, date her? Can you drive?" You know, I'm talking to him, and he's paying attention. He's paying attention to me, like, and I guarantee he understood what I was talking about. And then as soon as I finished, he shook his head as if to say thank you, and he went right back to flirting. Amen. I love that little boy. But then I just decided, you know, hey, I wish I had my Bible here so I could open it up. And then I realized I do have my Bible here, so I whipped out my trusty electronic device, pointed at NAS, and went to Colossians. And then I went to Peter. And all of a sudden, I wasn't judging anybody. I didn't have time. Because I was busy communing with that magnificent Lord that I have and hearing his fantastic word. And it soothed my soul. Just like Colossians soothed my depressed spirit. Beside the gates, at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the doors, the Word of God cries out. The Word of God available to anyone. And when we're down and troubled and we need a helping hand and nothing is going right, as James Taylor would say, do we reach out to the Word of God? When you're down, you know that song, right? In trouble and you need a helping hand. Not good? All right. You don't know that song? You don't know that song? You've got a friend, James Taylor. Google. I mean, YouTube it. Proverbs 8:4. To you, O men, to you, O men, I, the Word of God, call, and my voice, the Word of God, is freely given to the sons of men, to the fool, to the naive, to the wise. The Word of God is available for counsel. The Word of God is available to give life. The Word of God is available to give energy. not 5-hour energy, 24-hour energy, available for the taking, free of charge at a moment's notice to give life to those who are depressed in spirit. The Word of God revived my spirit. And I invite you to experience what I experienced this week by sitting in a quiet place, reading the letter of Paul to the Colossians, and hearing what the still small voice of the Holy Spirit is saying to you through this letter. Colossae is in modern day Turkey, and it's about 100 miles from Ephesus. It was a small church like Barah Ministries, founded by a passionate man, Epaphras, like Barah Ministries, and it had its struggles like Barah Ministries. It was a target of the Gnostics, as was the church at Ephesus that was addressed by 1 John. And the Gnostics sought to introduce error into this budding and blossoming congregation. Excuse me. Paul's letter to the Colossians, which was written from a prison cell in Rome, had a purpose, as do all the letters of the entire Bible, especially the letters of the New Testament. One of the things you may want to do as you read is to see if you can discern the communication of the letter's purpose in its chapters. Sometimes in the letters of the New Testament, the purpose of the letter is clearly stated, like in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, which says, "These things we, John, write so that our joy may be made complete." That's the one thing I love about John. He is crystal clear at all times about exactly why he's writing. How about 1 John chapter 5, verse 13? He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may know that you have the Zoe life." John chapter 20, verse 31. "But these things written in the Bible have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and so that by believing you may have the Zoe life in his name." In his name, meaning in union with his person. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. "I, Peter, consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, my physical body, to stir you up by way of reminder." That's why I'm writing. In the letter to the Colossians, Paul's purpose was to correct some of the errors the Gnostics were spreading within the church at Colossae. Take a 5-minute break, and we'll see a few of the critical things in this letter you may want to pay attention to. And if you'd like to get a head start, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Take a 5-minute break.
Let thy glory.
Welcome back. So my depressed spirit was revived quite well by the book of Colossians, and it's just picking up a book and randomly reading anything in the Bible can completely change your point of view. And I think that God the Holy Spirit leads us to places in the Bible when we do that, that address the specific things that we are concerned with right at that moment. And this certainly was the case. Now, when you pick up the book of Colossians, what you're going to notice is that it has a structure. And if you want to, as you go along, you can see the different moves that the structure will make. The first two verses will be the greeting, and so I want you to see that as you look at it. The first couple of verses are the greeting of the letter, because the letter is being sent by Paul from a prison cell in Rome, and it's being read at the church of Colossae. And so he starts off by greeting them. And then in verses, in chapter 1 from verses 3 to 14, he talks about the power and purpose of the gospel message, which the Colossians responded to. And that is what Paul is. He's a minister of the gospel message, just as I am, a minister of the gospel message. And that's why we have a ministry called Berah. And we are to take the gospel message and spread it throughout the world. Next, you'll see the person of Christ in chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. That talks about the person of Christ. And then in verses 21 to 23, you'll see that there is this reference to the old self-life and the new self-life. And those early references are always a promise of what is to come. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 to Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, he talks about the dispensation of the mystery, the church. He talks about the age that we're in. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, the life lived in union with Christ is described. And then he closes up in verses 7 to verse 18 of chapter 4. With a summary of everything he was talking about and what he expects to happen next. So it is a letter, beautiful letter. And as you read that letter, you will notice that that letter has a structure. Well, unconditional love, which is the subject of our study, is manifest in new self-life conduct. When I was depressed in spirit, I engaged in conduct. I opened my Bible. That is a new self-life thing to do. Another thing to do is to remain depressed in spirit. It's not unusual that we would be depressed in spirit. But then to sit there and do nothing about it when we have a marvelous thing, a marvelous tool, the Bible, is a crime. So unconditional love, the subject of our study, is manifest in new self-life conduct, which is a series of practices that reflect the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The third chapter of Colossians is where we turn our attention to continue our look at what God has done for us in the matter of the new self-life. The letter to the Ephesians, a letter to the believers at Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, it's called Ephes now, E-F-E-S, isn't the only place where we believers in Christ are told to lay aside the old self and to put on the new self. The letter to the Colossians is very descriptive of these two things as well. The first four verses of Colossians chapter 3 direct us to where we must set our minds. Take a look at that. Colossians chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 to 4. It says, "Therefore, if you believers in Christ have been raised up with Christ," first class condition if, in the Greek, "and you have." We have been raised up with Christ. We sit at the right hand of God the Father with Christ. So therefore, if you believers in Christ have been raised up with Christ, and you have, keep on setting your minds on the things above, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is, where he is now seated at the right hand side of God the Father. And you're seated there with him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. "Keep on setting your mind," which is your affections, "on the things above." Keep on setting your affections on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Don't set your affections on earthly things. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus. We are to fix our attention on the things of the Zoe life, the new self life. And we are not to fix our attention on the things of the cosmos life. And if you see people who are depressed in spirit, they are counting on the new self life, on the old self life. They are not focused on the new self life. What was I doing? I was fixing my eyes on people. I wasn't fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. I was expecting to get from people something that only Jesus Christ can give. We're not going to get those things from people. And that brings you, what is the result of expecting that from people? Depressed spirit. Parents, you expect your kids to act right. Do they ever? Yeah, they do. Once out of every 1,000 times. Nobody tells us that when we sign up for parenting. And it just cracks me up to see mothers with their young babies. They're so affectionate. And that same person, 15 years from now, is going to be walking that mom's frame. And telling her she's not crap and she never did anything and completely forget all the diapers that were changed. And that's our real experience. It's not something to be depressed about. It's our real experience. And God gives us a provision to handle it. God's pulling his collar. Oh, you think you got it tough? I got about a gazillion of these. Oh, I tell you, I don't get no respect. So we keep on setting our affections on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We are listening to the broadcast of WGOD. We're not listening to the broadcast of KCOS, which is promising us everything and giving us nothing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you have died to the old self life. And your new self life, the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life, is hidden by God together with union to Christ in the agency of God, by means of God. God is as the source, has tied our lives to Jesus Christ. He's placed us in union with Christ. And that is an unbelievable asset and a tremendous relationship. We'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture when he comes back for his saints. We'll be with Jesus Christ at the wedding feast of the groom, and we are his bride. We'll be with Jesus Christ at the second coming of Christ when he slaughters every unbeliever on the earth to save the Jews. And we'll be with him in the millennial reign of Christ. What precious and magnificent promises. We have no reason to be depressed in spirit. And as you read the third chapter, notice the description of the old self life. Here's the fourth verse of Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our Zoe life, is revealed, that is, he's made manifest, then you also will be revealed. You'll be made manifest with him in glory. That's what we have to look forward to. That fantastic union is going to pay off. So here is how the old self life is described in the book of Colossians. Immorality, impurity, passion, which is a reference to lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, lies. That's the old self life. That's that thing we're gravitating to. That's that thing we hold so precious. And all of these things, that book, that letter calls evil practices, these are the things that we are to lay aside. We're to lay aside immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, and lies. Lay it aside. Make a different choice. Colossians 3:9b, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, lay it aside. He does not want us to sin. A miraculous and startling revelation. The old self life is to influence you no longer, and that's what it seeks to do all the time through temptation. It's always attacking your soul, always enticing your soul, always making an appeal to your soul, always promising everything, always delivering nothing. So as you read the third chapter, notice the descriptions of the new self-life as well. And what are those? Being renewed to a true knowledge of God, a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's what you'll see when the new self-life is in operation. There's a great commercial on yesterday where this old man, he's probably 60 or 70 years old, is laying concrete for a sidewalk, and he's smoothing it out. And then he looks up, and his grandson has walked right down the sidewalk right up to him. And it says, the message that comes on is something like, patience is incredible, right? Because the grandfather didn't look upset at all. Can you imagine Mike doing that? I don't think Mike would do that. I think Mike could get up and hit you in the head with part of the sidewalk now, wouldn't he? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You make sure you tell him that I mentioned him in this lesson, okay? My golf buddy. Other descriptions of the new self-life, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, putting on unconditional love, the bond of unity, peace of Christ rules in your heart. Be thankful. As you read the third chapter, you'll notice that unconditional love has to be put on, which implies that we don't have it inside of us without God, the Holy Spirit. Other new self-life descriptions. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in your heart. Ah, I was depressed in spirit, but I picked up the word of God and let it richly dwell in my heart. And all of a sudden, the depressed spirit was gone. Better than medicine. And by the way, those of you who are bipolar, do not pay any attention to the last comment. Take your medication. Teach one another. Admonish one another. Now, okay, you hear that one? Admonish one another. See, a lot of people that I know are going to use this lesson against me. They're going to say, I don't ever see you operating in the new self life. Well, here it is. I admonish. My God, help me out. Amen. 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 Thank you. Do it in the name of the Lord. Give thanks. Wow, that's in there twice. Be thankful and give thanks. Those are different, though. Well, as you read the third chapter, notice the functions of relationships. And there's a nice section in there about relationship, the functions of relationships. What is it? Husbands, you're the initiators. And you are to love with a one-way unconditional love for your wives. Wives, you are responders. You are to be subject in submission to your husbands. Initiators need responders. Teachers need students. Coaches need players. Shepherds need sheep. Kings need subjects. Children, you are responders. Obey your parents. Now, when we hear this typically, and when we hear it with our old self ears, we recoil at this. Men don't want to initiate, they want to respond. Wives don't want to respond, they want to initiate. Children don't want to obey, they want to do whatever they want to do. Okay, well, you notice this? God was the initiator, Satan was the responder, and what was he to do? The only thing that a responder has to do, obey. But he didn't, and now we have the creator-creature conflict. Because the basics of effectiveness in relationships, and this is what this is. Take your role out of it. Just understand what the basics of effectiveness in relationships are. There's an initiator, there's a responder, and there's obedience. And that works. And in that absence, we have those relationships that we have, where everybody wants to do something different than they were designed to do. Everybody wants it to work by doing exactly the opposite of what God says works. Some old self-life descriptions in relationships. Bitterness, as in the husband to wives. Exasperation, as in fathers to kids. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Just look how wonderful this is when you just take a read of it. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and you have, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God as you are. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The old self has died. It's been crucified. When Christ, who is our Zoe life, the resurrection life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to all the old self things, immorality, impurity, passion, lust, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, unbelievers. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. So in other words, verse 7, don't look down your nose at anybody, pal, because you lived in those when you were an unbeliever, and you still like going back to it. Verse 8, but now you also put them all aside. Put aside what? All the other old self things, anger, wrath, malice, slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian. A barbarian was anyone who didn't speak the language that you spoke. A barbarian, the Greeks called people barbarians. Barbarians were people who did not speak Greek, and they said, well, they sound like this, bar, 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 bar. So they called them barbaros, the barbarians. So a renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, new self-life stuff, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you forgive. Beyond all those things, put on unconditional love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, the church, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart, faint in their souls. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, eye service, in their face one thing, behind their back another, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, respecting the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So closing. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve. That's why I don't mind being a fool. I don't mind, because I'm a fool for Christ. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. God is fair. Unconditional love is manifest in new self-life conduct. The Bible, especially the New Testament, outlines that conduct over and over and over and over and over again. And isn't it funny? When we were at the beginning of this year dealing with the rebound issue, that issue is talked about in one place, 1 John 1:9. Yet God makes it absolutely clear that if he's going to tell you something, like about the old self-life or the new self-life, he never, ever, ever does it in one place. And as we get more familiar with the New Testament, we will see over and over and over and over and over and over again, ad nauseam, until you want to vomit. Old self, throw it out. New self, do this. It is crystal clear in the New Testament what God expects your life to look like when it is manifesting his life. And he makes it crystal clear all the things he wants you to stop doing and don't ever do them again. Absolute, crystal clear, no confusion, no room for interpretation. That's what I like about God, the absolute most. As we grow, let's continue to act like God's possession. Closing song, God's property. Because God owns us.
paid for at Calvary, redeemed from slavery. We are God's property, indwelled by Trinity, reflecting glory. We are God's property.
That's good. Then we didn't, at least the soon-to-be resident congregation doesn't have to hear about drinking red striped beer. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. For the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for making it absolutely crystal clear what you want the new self life to reflect. And thank you for the instructions that you give us in writing in the Bible that makes it easy for us to follow. And I pray that all who are at the other end of this message might take this instruction and live it and lay aside the things of the old self. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.